Senate will come to order, please. Senate will come to order for the 30th legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers this morning. The roll shows 17 members present. Senators Hensley and Rohde are excused from the call of the Senate today. This morning's chaplain is Senator Sturgiluski. Will all please rise for the invocation.
Dear Lord, on this 30th day of the session, with 1/4 of current legislative time elapsed, we ask for your guidance as we pause and reflect on our responsibilities to the people of our great state of Alaska. Help us always to keep our role in proper perspective and to remember that we're here to provide leadership with reason for the benefit of all citizens. We each have a duty to our distinct constituencies, and yet when we come together as a body of the whole, we take on added duties as lawmakers for the common good. In the months remaining in this session, as pressures increase and tempers may flare, we pray for the wisdom to pass the proper laws for all the people and for continued sensitivity toward each other. Amen. Amen.
Senator Elias, will you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 29th legislative day?
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 29th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 29th legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the Senate journal for the 29th legislative day has been approved by this body as certified by the Senate Secretary. Do we have introduction of guests, please? Senator Fatula.
President, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce a member of the Civic Action Program of ARCOS. She lives in the district represented by Mike Zemanski and myself, so on behalf of both of us, I'd like to introduce Sandy Fanata.
Senator Sturgiluski.
Yes, Madam President, representing from our districts, 8 and 10, District F, I'm very pleased to welcome today from the Civic Action Program of ARCO in the far gallery, Kevin Meyer is here, Bonnie Stewart, and Sven Hassan.
Senator Booth.
From District 9, my constituents from the CAP program at ARCO, I'd like to introduce Joe English, Mickey Langston, Dick Brooks, and Jerry Foster, and Wayne Morrison. Welcome to the Senate.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Madam President. Also with the Civic Action Program of ARCO, we have one constituent from the downtown district, from Senator Jolson and myself, that is Diane Miller, and we hope to have more coming down, too. Diane, you want to stand up? Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam President. Also with the Civic Action Program, we have Kerry Kimmler from East Anchorage, and welcome to the Senate.
Further introduction of guests. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. We all went through the basketball tournament. We do have a remnant of the Soldatna team still sticking around as a house page. I think Pat might be a senior or junior. I'm not quite sure, but he is an outstanding basketball player, Pat Mack.
Further introduction of guests. Messages from the governor.
Message dated February 9, dear Senator Fakes, in accordance with AS 3905080, in Article 3, Section 25 and 26 of the Alaska Constitution, I submit the following names for legislative confirmation of appointment to the positions noted. Department of Administration, Commissioner John M. Andrews.
This will be referred to the State Affairs Committee for confirmation hearings.
Department of Fish and Game, Commissioner Don W. Collingsworth.
Resources Committee.
Under Boards and Commissions, Alaska State Board of Public Accountancy, Thomas E. Bartlett, Fairbanks, Deborah R. Marshall, Juneau.
Labor and Commerce Committee for confirmation hearings.
Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, Richard Stitt, Juneau.
Finance Committee for confirmation hearings.
State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors, Robert B. Boswell, Fairbanks.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
Athletic Commission, Stanley C. Anderson, Nome, Brady D. Jackson II, Anchorage.
Labor and Commerce.
Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar, Sandra S. Stringer Fairbanks, Lou M. Williams, Jr., Ketchikan.
Judiciary Committee.
Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, Ellen M. Hall, Anchorage, Mars A. Cuber, Fairbanks.
Labor and Commerce.
Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Philip J. Smith, Juneau.
Resources Committee.
Board of Dental Examiners, H. Douglas Small, Anchorage, Terrence A. Toshek, Anchorage.
Labor and Commerce.
Board of Education, Catherine Hernstein, Kodiak.
Health, Education, Social Services Committee.
Board of Fisheries, Frederick Bud D. Hodson, Anchorage.
Resources.
Guide Board, Arthur L. Clark, Fairbanks.
Resources Committee.
State Commission for Human Rights, Catherine Katie T. Hurley, Wasilla.
State Affairs Committee.
Judicial Council, Leona K. Okakok, Barrow.
Judiciary Committee.
Board of Marine Pilots, Captain Harold K. Elsonson, Ketchikan, and Mark A. Foster, Fairbanks.
I'm going to refer this to both Labor and Commerce and Resources if the two chairmen would decide who is going to hold those confirmation hearings. That you have, it could go either committee, so you all decide. Board of Marine Pilots.
State Medical Board, William H. Bowers, M.D., Anchorage, James W. Thompson, M.D., Juneau.
Same instructions to Health, Education, Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
Board of Nursing, Francita D. Veal, Anchorage.
Health and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Jesse C. Wingfield, Fairbanks.
Labor and Commerce.
Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, William W. Barnwell, Anchorage.
Resources Committee.
Board of Pharmacy, Christy Nielsen, Fairbanks.
Health and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, Beverly A. Ingram Homer, Nancy B. James Fairbanks, Gary M. McCarthy, Eagle River.
Health and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
Professional Teaching Practices Commission, Bonnie L. Barber, Fairbanks, Claudia S. Dibdol, Anchorage, Richard C. Houghton, Noatak, Sid Wright, Petersburg.
Health, Education, Social Services for confirmation.
Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners, Juanita H. McCallan, Hawk Bay.
Health and Social Services, Labor and Commerce.
Alaska Public Offices Commission, Patrick Owen, Anchorage.
State Affairs Committee.
Railroad Labor Relations Agency, Marlene Johnson, Hoonah.
Labor and Commerce, Transportation Committee Chairman.
Real Estate Commission, Ronald J. Johnson, Nikiski. Candace G. Wagaman, Fairbanks, Paulette Will, Fairbanks.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
Board of Veterinary Examiners, James B. Leach III, Big Lake, Stephen A. Mersch, Soldotna.
Labor and Commerce Committee.
Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, Mary A. Pierce, Anchorage, Donald R. Scott, Anchorage, Joe J. Thomas II, Fairbanks, T.J. Thrasher, Anchorage.
Labor and Commerce Committee. On the Board of Marine Pilots, if the Transportation Committee Chairman wants to do those confirmation hearings, I certainly have no problems with that.
The resumes for these appointments will be submitted to the 15th Alaska State Legislature through the clerks of both houses. Sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. And that is the messages from the Governor this morning.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated February 5, dear Madam President, the House passed CSSB 93 Judiciary with the following amendment. House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 93 Judiciary, an act relating to investments by financial institutions and transmitted for consideration. This was held yesterday on the Secretary's desk.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move Senate Bill 93, may I brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease. Secretary, will you note Senator Binkley's presence in the chambers? I believe that makes us 18 this morning. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam President. I move the Senate concur in the House amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 93 Judiciary.
Any discussion?
Question.
Hearing no discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute to Senate Bill 93 Judiciary, thus adopting the House committee substitute? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And so the Senate has adopted the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 93 Judiciary, thus adopting House committee substitute for Senate Bill 93 Judiciary by a vote of 18 yeas with 2 excused absences. Are there further messages from the House?
Message dated February 8, dear Madam President, the House passed and transmitted for consideration House Concurrent Resolution Number 33 by Representative Schultz relating to annexations recommended by the Local Boundary Commission.
This will be referred to the Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
That is all the messages from the House this morning.
Do we have communications?
There are no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 12 relating to the determination of the state's boundaries with the Soviet Union and Canada, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators Fanning and Ewing. The committee further attached a new zero fisco note. Senate Joint Resolution Number 12 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 55, establishing a United States Navy home port in Alaska, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 55, Finance, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Helford, co-chairman, concurring Senators Duncan, Ewing, Binkley, and Jara. Senator Hensley signed no recommendation. The committee further attached a new zero fisco note. Senate Joint Resolution Number 55 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar.
The Resources Committee considers Senate Joint Resolution Number 57, Foreign Fishing in the International Water of the Bering Sea, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 57, Resources, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Sturgalewski, Jaroff, and Fisher. The committee further attached a new zero fisco note. Senate Joint Resolution 57 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for consideration of the calendar.
The Rules Committee considered sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, labeling of irradiated food, and recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, rules, attached a new zero fiscal note and recommended calendar. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Jones. Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 is on today's calendar. And those are the standing committee reports this morning.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
Senate Bill Number 399 by Senators Zemanski, Jaroff, Eliason, Fisher, Sturgalewski, and Rohde entitled, an act relating to the inclusion of fingerprint information in the criminal justice information system.
This will be referred directly to the Judiciary Committee. State Affairs Chairman may wish to look at this.
Senate Bill Number 400 by Senator Coghill entitled, an act relating to parole.
Judiciary Committee.
Senate Bill Number 401 by Senator Fakes entitled, an act relating to appeals of information requests in the administration of state tax laws to audits, investigations, and inspections for certain taxes and for oil and gas-related royalties and net profits, amending provisions relating to administrative and judicial review of decisions relating to taxes, penalties, tax refunds, and assessments in the administration of state tax laws and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee, I've told the Judiciary Chairman that he might wish to look at this bill, but really doesn't have judiciary implications. Senator Petula?
I'd ask that the Finance Chairman inform Judiciary at the time that they seek hearing of this legislation. That way we might jointly travel together if it's necessary.
Thank you, sir, very much.
And that is all the bills for introduction this morning.
Brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Secretary, we'll read the first item on the calendar.
Sponsor substitute.
Senator Szymanski seeking the floor, sir. Excuse me, Madam Secretary. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread in the journal. It's inspiring prayer, and I just not say it's spread earlier.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on today's journal. Madam Secretary, first item on the calendar.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 by Senator Katula relating to the labeling of irradiated food. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution, and the majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. The report was signed by Senator Boone, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Ewing. Senator Hensley signed, do pass. A zero fiscal note was attached. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Helfrich, Curtula, Josephson, and Jones. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, Judiciary, and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Katula, Chairman, concurring Senator Josephson, Helfrich, and Strzelewski, attached a zero fiscal note. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, Rules, same title, and attached a new zero fiscal note, not an updated. The report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Jones. I have two committee substitutes.
Senator Lyason.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee for substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 33 be adopted in lieu of original resolution.
Hearing no objections, the Rules Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 has been adopted by this body.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, Rules relating to the labeling of irradiated food.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Are there any amendments? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 33, Rules be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Rules Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33 is before the Senate in final passage.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, Rules relating to the labeling of irradiated food.
Senator Curtula.
President of the Senate, we are just merely speaking to continuing the labeling of radiated foods and requesting the federal government, if FDA, continue this. There are just a couple of briefs here. Apparently, irradiation does destroy vitamin content. It doesn't stop the oxidative reactions that lead to rancidity in poultry, fish, nor are the enzymatic reactions in these foods. And they may spawn, irradiation may spawn irradiation-resistant strains of bacteria and viruses, because irradiation produces scores of compounds of unknown identity. This problem, the potential of not labeling products irradiated, came before us. And I'm going to just briefly go over that this resolution requests that FDA keep its labeling requirements on irradiated foods. This is a consumer measure that has broad support from both constituents and industry. Today we are allowed to know the sugar content of most foods, but I think consumers have the right to know if their food has been irradiated or not. When they can make an informed decision then on whether or not they want to consume the food. Radiation is a process that slows the aging in some foods. It also lowers nutritional value. And of course, one of the methods of irradiation involves the use of cesium-137, a byproduct of nuclear weapon manufacturing, and it's extremely toxic nuclear waste. Besides raising issues concerning the safety of its use, the food is a very dangerous to transport, store, or use around humans. The University of Alaska's report concerning feasibility of irradiation in Alaska notes that because of seismic activity, any irradiation plant in Alaska must be carefully located. There are many other items of irradiation. We're just saying that it changes molecular structure, produces new substances, and many areas of the nation have already banned it altogether. Great Britain, West Germany, New Zealand, Scandinavian countries have banned the sale of irradiated food, and Japan seems to have withdrawn it from its support for radiation. But I just want you to know that spices, pork, papayas, wheat flour, potatoes, and other food and food products are irradiated and are on the Alaskan store shelves. Again, according to the University of Alaska, milk cartons, packaging of chickens, juice cartons, tampons, cosmetics, baby nipples, and water used in food processing are all irradiated. This resolution, though, is not a ban on these foods they're packaging. This resolution merely protects our right to know, and I recommend its passage.
Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 33, Rules, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. So the Rules Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 33 has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas with two excused absences. Next item on the calendar.
Citations. In memoriam, Kosh Taha, Chief Clarence Hotch of Klukwan Village, by Senators Elias and Jaroff and Szymanski, Representative Gall. In memoriam, William Leslie Yaw, by Senators Elias and Sturgiluski and Szymanski, Representative Grusendorf, honoring Eagle River Lions Club 25th anniversary, by Representatives Cotton, Phillips, and Grunberg, Senators Kelly, Halford, Sturgiluski, and Szymanski.
Senator Duncan.
President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation in memoriam Chief Clarence Hotch and in memoriam William Leslie Yaw.
Without objection, Senator Duncan will be shown on Chief Clarence Hotch's and Leslie Yaw's citations. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown on the memoriam for William Yaw.
Without objection, Senator Jaroff will be shown as a co-sponsor on the William Leslie Yaw Memoriam. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask consent that my name also be shown on the William Leslie Yaw Memoriam.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be shown as a co-sponsor to the William Leslie Yaw Memoriam. Senator Jones.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the Leslie Yaw Memoriam.
Without objection, Senator Jones will be shown as a co-sponsor to the William Leslie Yaw Memoriam. Senator Curtula.
The same motion. President Senate.
Without objection, Senator Curtula will be shown as a co-sponsor to the memoriam to William Leslie Yaw. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be approved.
Hearing no objections, the citation calendar has been approved by this body. Senator Kelly.
Can I bring up my reconsideration on Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 36, Judiciary this time?
The reconsideration for Senate CS for CS for House Bill 36 Judiciary is before us in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 36 Judiciary, an act requiring certain motor vehicle insurance policies to provide reduced rates for certain persons and providing for an effective date.
Discussion. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the Chairman of Labor and Commerce bringing up the reconsideration of this bill because I, for one, had some misinformation on the legislation from yesterday. I had an opportunity, and I think several people asked the question, to see what appropriate reduction in premium charges really means to the insurance industry. So I contacted several of them and asked them about that language. And what I have been informed is that their interpretation and the interpretation that the administration places on it is that it would only mean that it would be an actuarially sound reduction, and it's not an arbitrary reduction. Thus, the real interpretation is that whatever the reduction is what it will be. Based on that, I've resolved my concern with it and see really no reason to hold up passage of the legislation.
Further discussion? Senator Booth.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I intend to vote for this bill, but I would like to say a couple of words about it. On your desk, you'll find a very rough copy of a chart. There is no color copy machine around, so we had to do it the hard way. But if this bill is to prevent accidents, which I think it should, I think they all should have an opportunity to take driver's tests to reduce their insurance premiums of all ages. The first thing it would do would make better drivers out of them. But I find it a little hard to take that we're taking the 55-year-old on up and saying, well, if you want to reduce your premiums, why then you go through the hoops of paying for the examination, a whole bottle of wax. I think that the lower ages should have that same opportunity. Because if you'll note on the chart, and I won't go into total detail on it, your biggest problem lies with 21 to 30. The reduces somewhat between 30 and 40, reduces somewhat between 41 and 50, and 51 to 60, if you run that up to 55 and 60, that will even come down farther than the color charts that you're seeing. Now, in your particular case, the driver's licenses, I believe, are in yellow. The injuries are in red. Fatalities are in green. Note the fatalities between 21 and 30. Note the total accidents between 31 and 40. Then note how they come down. Now, if the bill then is to saying, we love our senior citizens, and let's give them a break on their insurance premiums, so that's great. I like that very much, because I do qualify, as one of my colleagues pointed out. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention that we do have a lot of work to do in preventing accidents and deaths. And just for your edification, and this came from the Department of Motor Vehicles, the total accidents, 14,853. Total injury accidents, 3,117. Total fatal accidents, 89. Now, I could get into the alcohol-related ones, which are much, much lower than that, and that's due to the drunk driving bill, I might add. So we are getting results from certain portions of our laws, and for that I'm grateful. But I think we do have to do a little bit more work in accident prevention. One way to do it is to take the younger ages, not just request they do, make them take driver's tests, and I think we'll get results, if that's the route we want to go. But I want to point out to you that as one who does qualify, I appreciate this gesture very much. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess maybe, and I don't know if anybody can answer this question or not, but it seems to me that the different age groups there and the insurance rates that you pay, a lot of it depends on the type of vehicle that you're driving. And it also seems to me that if you're a young person and you've gone through a driver's ed program, that you get a certain break on your insurance rates, depending on the companies that you deal with. And I'm sure that statistically that they have reviewed the accident rates there for all age groups there over a period of years, and the 55, I guess, must be an indicator for the insurance companies that certain problems do happen at this time, or certain physical changes do take place in various people, and in some cases it may not maybe as noticeable or whatever. And if this person takes a test and is able to prove that he is proficient enough to drive there for a certain after a certain age, that he should indeed not be considered a risk and have a break, maybe for leading a good, healthy life. And like many of us in here, you know, that are reaching that point there. Of course, I'm not getting there as quickly as some, I don't think, but I would like to see something like this maybe expanded to maybe include those that are 45 and that play racquetball, maybe, that could get a certain break on points might help certain teams in this organization. I support the legislation.
It seems to me you need a handicap. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. I, too, intend to support the legislation, but I appreciate the chart put out by the senior member from West Anchorage. I noticed that the big drop is between 40 and 41, and I'm going to talk to my insurance company about that.
Is there further discussion? Question has been called. The question being, shall the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 36 pass the Senate on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. And so on the reconsideration, the Senate has approved Judiciary Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 36 by a vote of 17 yeas, 1 nay, with 2 excused absences. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the passage of Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 36 Judiciary be considered a vote on effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the final vote of passage on the effective date clause will be considered. No, let me start again. The final vote on the effective date clause will be considered the final passage vote on Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 36. Senator Fahrenkamp, seeking the floor.
Madam President, may we have a brief at ease?
Yes, please, without objection. come back to order, please. The Senate will come back to order. We are under unfinished business. Is there unfinished business? Unfinished business? Unfinished business going once. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 287 have an additional referral to Senate Hess. The bill is an act relating to students' entitlement to unemployment compensation credit and benefit.
Without objection, committee substitute for House Bill 287, Finance, an act relating to student enrollment, entitlement to unemployment compensation credit and benefits will have a further referral to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. Under unfinished business, Senator Sturgeleski.
I would move and ask unanimous consent there be an additional referral on SB 357, APUC regulation of public utilities. There's an impact on municipalities. I don't know quite how deep that is.
Not deep, but without objection, Senate Bill 357 will be given additional referral to Community and Regional Affairs. It's APUC's regulation on utilities. Senator Kelly.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
Without objection, Senate will stand at ease. Unfinished business, Senator Halford.
Madam President, there are several bills that have fiscal notes. I'd like to ask for additional referral to Finance on sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 300. That's an act relating to building construction and safety codes and consolidation. SJR 50, proposing amendment to the Constitution relating to open meetings, and SB 98 relating to use of water. Those three bills have fiscal impact and do have fiscal notes, apparently. And also, I have a request from a member of the committee to consider committee substitute for Senate Bill 358. So at this time, I would like to ask if those bills be referred to the Finance Committee.
What's 358?
358 is an act relating to municipal procurement of architectural, engineering, and land surveying services.
The Senate will stand at ease. Back to order. We are under unfinished business. The co-chairman of Finance has requested further referrals of three bills that have fiscal impact. Senate Bill 300, the consolidation of building codes, SJR 50, referring to the open meetings law, Senate Bill 98, use of water. Without objection, those bills will be referred to the Finance Committee. Senator Halford.
With regard to committee substitute for Senate Bill 358, I'll withdraw that portion of the motion at this time, and the members concerned about it can work on the topic.
The bill is in the Rules Committee. 358 is in the Rules Committee. I would request that that bill remain in the Rules Committee until there is a workout between various people of this body. Labor and Commerce has waived the bill, it's my understanding. Mr. Labor and Commerce Chairman, have you waived Senate Bill 358?
Architects? Yes, I have.
Thank you. It's in the Rules Committee where it will remain. If possible, sir. Please, Mr. Rules Chairman.
For a period of time.
Yes, sir. Further unfinished business. Further unfinished business. Going once. Announcements. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. At 3:30, there will be a subcommittee meeting on Senate Bill 363, when relating to insurance on alcohol and drug abuse, be in the Belts Room.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam President, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Finance Committee will be considering Senate Bill 120 relating to entry of information regarding minors in the Alaska Public Safety Information System, Senate Bill 218 relating to purchase of foreign investments by the Board of Trustees of the Permanent Fund, sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 73 relating to repealing outside service credits under TRS, and Senate Bill 3 relating to motor vehicle registration plates. Also, there are some other bills that have been previously scheduled that are listed in the Finance Committee that may be taken up. I don't intend to at this point, though. I don't know if there's requests on them. Thank you.
Senator Farrenkamp.
The Council will meet this afternoon at 5:30 in the Butchovich Room.
Senator Sturgeleski.
Yes, Senator from the most southeast part of Southeast, and I would like to announce a meeting, I think, of general interest on behalf of the Joint Committee on Economic Recovery. From 12 to 1 o'clock, there are going to be three FDIC representatives that will be here to testify before the Joint Committee on FDIC liquidation procedures in Alaska, the process they're looking at. The meeting is going to take place in the Senate Finance Committee room. Community and Regional Affairs will be meeting today. We have two bills, SB 282 relating to municipal sales and use tax, SB 367 relating to optional exemptions from municipal taxes, and there will be no meeting on Thursday. We've allowed that time to be used by Judiciary, which is doing the tort bill. Thank you.
Further announcements. Senator Coghill.
Committee on Resources will meet tomorrow, February the 10th, and we have Senate Bill 362 establishing the Dude Creek Critical Habitat Area. Senate Bill 393 relating to corrective management of threatened stocks of fish and game. Senate Bill 394, an act relating to the Board of Fish and Game. Friday the 12th, we'll have no meeting for lack of quorums. Monday, we'll have no meetings, but we'll have a work session on the outfitters and guide problem. Next week is going to be filled with guide problems. On February the 17th, we have an overview on the guide issue, Division of Occupational Licenses, Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Department of Law will be giving us an overview on it. And then on Friday the 19th, we will be taking up Senate Bill 191, which is the guide bill.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Senator Eliza.
Madam President, Rules Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:15. We're taking up the Senate Bill 361, filling legislative vacancies. We're having a public hearing on this particular bill. In Senate Concurrent Resolution 32, urging flexibility by lenders and collectors. Senate Concurrent Resolution 34, establishing a commission on Alaska-Soviet relations. SJR 55, supporting Navy homeporting in Alaska. SJR 57, foreign fishing in the international water of the Bering Sea at 1:15 this afternoon. Madam President, as long as I'm on the floor, I'd like to, on behalf of the Alaska Municipal League, announce that there is going to be a reception tomorrow evening. It's being held for the Cooper administration and the 15th Alaska State Legislature by the Alaska Municipal League and Alaska Conference of Mayors. That's tomorrow evening at the penthouse from 5 to 7 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further announcements? Senator Duncan.
I forgot. The Bill Egan... Excuse me. Bill Egan Forum is meeting today at noon in the Treadwell Room. If we hurry, you can hear Representative Grusendorf make a presentation.
Further announcements. Special orders. Senator Eliza.
Madam President, under special orders, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to speak briefly on the list of boards and commissions the governor submitted this morning.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor under special
orders. Madam President, I was rather astounded when I went through this list of 47 people scattered throughout the state of Alaska who are being appointed to boards and commissions by the governor. I certainly recognize his prerogative of doing that. However, there are some omissions which I'd like to call to the attention of the body that people residing in the fifth or sixth largest state of this city in this state are not represented on this particular list. Like I say, there's over 8,000 people living in the community of Sitka, and we have a large untapped market of expertise over there. I would hope that the governor's office would recognize that these are people who are willing to serve on these boards. And I'd like the governor to recognize the fact that the Speaker of the House also comes from Sitka, and I would hope that when this next list comes down before this legislature, that there will appear at least one name from the first capital of the state of Alaska, Sitka. Thank you.
Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. Tough act to follow. But I'd move and ask unanimous consent under special orders be given the privilege to speak on legislation introduced related to fingerprint information in the criminal justice system.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor under special orders to speak about fingerprints legislation.
Thank you. I'll try to make my remarks briefly to the point. The bill introduced today came about actually as a result of legislation which we previously passed related to fingerprinting, and through some investigation, I determined that there is no statutory means by which people of Alaska who wish to voluntarily participate in the fingerprint system can be included. And as the good senator from Kodiak indicated, there are indeed instances where certain people may want to participate in the system. And in this legislation, what we've recognized is that we have that group of people, and that group of people may be minors, children. It may be people who have had some history either of potential abductions of their children, kidnapping history. And also, there's a significant group of people which are elderly with Alzheimer's disease that could voluntarily participate in this program and currently are restricted. Under the Alaska Automated Fingerprint Identification System, which governs the inclusion of them, there's a governor's commission which administers it under the justice system. And this bill would allow the commission to set regulations governing the quality of the prints and how they would actually be taken. I would hope that this automated system and the legislation that we have before us opens a door to allow what I've always assumed for many years is volunteer participation in the system. There is that still one gray area that is very difficult to allow children to participate in because of their age, young children, infants, and young people even up to the age of 14, because the whole system is based on a measurement between points on there. They can't automatically put them into the system until they reach the age at least 14, and even then it's somewhat discretionary. But under this legislation, we would maintain them in a separate file and through selective process be able to pull them up, expand the prints at a later date, and then run them for a comparison. And I appreciate the other co-sponsors on the legislation and the endorsement of the legislation by other members. Thank you.
Further special orders, Senator Coghill.
Madam President, just briefly today, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be given the privilege of the floor to discuss legislation that was introduced today.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor to discuss legislation introduced today. Senator
Madam
Coghill.
President, Senate Bill number 400 is a simple bill. What it does basically is that it puts the decision of the parole board on the same basis as the decision of the jury, that instead of having a majority of the parole board be able to reduce or to let somebody out of prison, it would take the same basic decision that it does on the jury, where it takes a a full part of the jury. The idea that's behind a felony where you have child abuse, where you have sexual abuse, that the parole board is turning these people loose, I think that it ought to be unanimous tonight. I would hope that the Senate would give this some real good consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further special orders. Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask the Senate be given the privilege of the floor to discuss the jobs bill.
Without objection, Senator, you do have the privilege of the floor to discuss the jobs bill. Senator Halpern.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the cooperation of the members of the Senate in submitting their projects for the jobs bill. This has been a somewhat different process. It's required cooperation across party lines and between House and Senate, which I know has been difficult for some members. But it has been something I think has been a learning experience for all of us. The projects and the backup book are in the governor's office. There are some questions. And just to give you an idea of some of the things that are in question, there are some projects that don't stand alone on their own. And there's a great concern for starting a project that can't be completed with the appropriation that's provided for in this bill. I think I'll be talking to members that have projects in that category. The governor's office will be talking to members that have projects in that category. But two areas. Starting projects that aren't usable as a standalone at the point that this money carries them to. It probably doesn't make sense to build a foundation which is unusable for something that we can't afford to build in the near-term future. We have some started projects that we're having to complete now that are difficult to deal with in that area, but they're being treated a little bit differently because they already are started and there is a public investment in those projects. But think about your projects in terms of getting them done in reasonable time frame with the jobs bill money. Another thing is, because the governor's office is going to a higher degree of review, primarily because of some of these questions, I will be coming back to some of you and asking for some of the justification backup. One of the concerns has been that the justification and backup has simply used the buzzwords that are that we all refer to in trying to get jobs on the street and percentage of income or percentage of expenditure in Alaska without really backing that up with some kind of backup. So we need to be getting municipal requests, backup, and all that information available to the governor's office, and we'll be working with you on that. That's why we haven't had the bill introduced so far, and we're still working on that process. But I thank all the members for their cooperation.
Senator Coghill.
President, privilege the floor to ask a question of the
co-chairman of the Finance.
Sir, you may just ask your question through the chair.
Will we have an opportunity to be able to know whether we've passed mustard upstairs, or will we be able to have the privilege to go back, or will we see the red pen before when it's too late?
Senator Halford.
It is certainly my effort that no district in the state lose the economic benefit of these appropriations through a veto. I think that's the governor's interest as well. The question is that in trying to get a cooperative bill introduced that is probably more cooperative in the starting point that we've been before, there are several levels of review. One is the introductory level of review. The other is the review before the Joint Finance Committee and the Finance Committees and the Legislature. It is my opinion that there will be changes also at that point, and certainly that's fine. I mean, these projects need to go out to the public process and go through that process. I am not concerned from our perspective for introducing something and then possibly finding something imperfect about it and changing that project. But we'll be going through that at two stages, at the introductory level now and also in changing things after the bill is introduced. The perfection is not something that you have to introduce a bill. I think the public process is going to bring up questions that should be dealt with, and they should be dealt with in that forum.
Mr. Majority Leader.
And I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 11 a.m. tomorrow, February 10th, 1988.
Without objection, the Senate is adjourned until February 10th at 11 a.m.